Bibles were in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. The Lord gave us this message pretty much while we were listening to somebody else preach. Teach from this text. The Lord gave us this message in connection with last Sunday morning's message and then this morning's message. Kind of deals with the same thought, only different. So may God bless the reading of his word, open our hearts to receive and understand what the word of God has for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let's read verse 1 through 12 for our reading. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. For I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Title of the message this evening would be Some Gave All. Some gave all. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth following his working there and his establishing of the church, pretty much in the voice of rebuke in 1 Corinthians, pointing out things that were wrong and inappropriate and needed changed and corrected. He wrote 2 Corinthians with a little bit of a more positive tone, and he praises them for some of the corrections that they had made, though there are still some things that needed correction as he writes the book of 2 Corinthians. And in our text, he writes to the church at Corinth concerning the grace of giving. The grace of giving. And he lays before them the example of the churches of Macedonia. Let me charge you, let me challenge you to consider the giving that the Macedonian churches demonstrated. Let me lay them before you as an example of how I hope you will give also. The churches of Macedonia would have been in Greece, northern Greece. They would have included the church at Philippi, church at Thessalonica, what I believe was a church at Berea, maybe some other places in that area where churches had been started by the Apostle Paul on his journeys. I want us to notice the pattern, the example of giving from the Macedonian churches. He says in verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Strange language, but what he is saying is, we want to make known to you how God bestowed grace upon the churches of Macedonia. As he opens this portion of Scripture on the subject of giving and the grace of giving, he begins by expressing the grace of God as the Macedonians had experienced it. He wanted to make known to the people at Corinth how that God had poured out his grace upon the churches of Macedonia. The reason he did that is grace is the starting point of giving. We give, we understand our responsibility to give, we desire to give, we want to give, we enjoy giving, once we've really experienced the grace of God. If it's a burden, if it's a task, if it's a hardship or a heartache, then it's probably not springing from the demonstration of God's grace. But when you really appreciate the grace of God, you're motivated to give. When you realize how much you've received from God, you enjoy giving and being a blessing to others. And in verse number 2, he says, "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality." First thing he says they did in verse number 2 is they gave in spite of the great affliction that they were under. Giving is more difficult. Giving is more challenging. Giving is more trying when you're under affliction, when you're suffering, when you're being persecuted, when you're in pain, when you're experiencing discomfort, not just physically, but spiritually, for the cause of Christ. And we read over in 1 Thessalonians, as he writes to one of those churches that would have been in Macedonia, he says in chapter 1, verse number 6, speaking to the believers of Thessalonica, he says, "You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." So as he writes to the church of Thessalonica, he references how they received the word with great persecution, with great affliction, great difficulty. But in spite of the affliction and the great difficulty, he references the joy of the Holy Ghost. And he references that in our text tonight in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. Verse number 14, but for ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. Now he's writing to the Thessalonians, and he references the people or the churches of Judea. He says, for ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So the people at Thessalonica had experienced the grace of God. They're beginning to give. They're giving. They're exercising the grace of giving. Began with that experience of grace. And they gave in spite of great affliction, persecution, suffering. And that is always more of a blessed thing when you give in spite of suffering, in spite of being afflicted. But he says there in verse number 2 of our text, not only did they give under a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, but verse number 2, the second half of the second verse, says they gave according to their deep poverty. Their deep poverty. In our study of the seven churches of Revelation, in chapter 2, verse 9, I think it's the church at Smyrna, which is commended for their great poverty. It is a mistake to think that all the churches of the New Testament were like the church at Jerusalem. Thousands of souls being saved, plenty of supplies and all their necessities made. What we need to always remind ourselves, most of the churches of the New Testament were small churches, small groups of people, under great persecution. And I would say most probably experienced a degree of poverty because the persecution that would have been heaped upon them would have affected their income and their having resources. And so the church at Macedonia, the churches of Macedonia, were poor people. They were poor churches. But in spite of the great affliction they were under, in spite of the great poverty that they were under, they were still blessed in the grace of giving to be a help to others. In verse number 3 of the text, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. The word power there carries the meaning of ability. And he says in verse number 3 that they had their ability, their power to give, and I bear them record that beyond their ability, beyond their power, they gave. And you just got to think a little bit, consider what that means, spend some time thinking upon it in your own time, in your own thoughts. If you're talking about a person's tithe, you give your tithe according to your ability. It's proportionate giving. God doesn't give you anything. God doesn't require anything. God doesn't ask of anything. If God has blessed you or prospered you in the least little way, then he requires that proportionate giving, that return of the tithe, if you would. And that's always within your ability. Not only does the Bible teach proportionate giving or tithing, but we're also taught in Scripture not just to give our tithes, but to bring our offerings. And I see our offerings as also being according to our ability. We give our tithes based upon how God has prospered us, so the ability to give our tithes is there. When we feel led of the Lord to give over and above our tithes and to give an offering, it's obviously because the ability is there for us to give a little more, to give an offering. So this is beyond what they were able to do in their tithes. This is beyond what they were able to do in relationship to their giving of offerings. And over and above their ability, the churches of Macedonia gave to the need that was current, that Paul was having offerings received from and received for. I think it is appropriate, as others would point out, and I've heard others point out, that giving beyond your ability is not giving on a credit card. There are ministries and there are people on the radio and television who tell you, God will bless you if you can't afford to give something for them. God will bless you if you'll put your support or your love on your credit card. I don't think God is ever pleased with our giving on credit. He wants us to give according to His prospering us, His ability, His blessings upon us. And that's provided through our tithes, that's provided through the offerings. And then some of these people at Macedonia felt stretched, felt like they needed to extend themselves even beyond what they had for their tithes and what they had for their offerings, and not giving on credit, but to give beyond what would be identified as their normal ability. The last part of verse number 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power or ability, he says, they were willing of themselves. They gave without being prompted. They gave without being pursued. They gave without Paul having to come right out and ask them to give. They gave willingly. And in chapter 9, verse number 7 of 2 Corinthians, concerning giving, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Why shouldn't we give grudgingly? Why should we not give out of necessity? Because God loves a cheerful giver. God loves it when our giving is willing. God loves it when we give cheerfully. God loves it when we desire without being put on the spot, without being pressured. So they gave without being prompted. Then in verse number 4, Paul says here concerning these Macedonians, these churches of Macedonia, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. What I interpret them as doing in that fourth verse is not only did they not have to be asked, not only did they not have to be prompted, not only did they give because they wanted to, but they pleaded with Paul and they begged the Apostle Paul to let them have a part in the gathering of funds to help the relief of God's people who were in need. They begged for an opportunity. So they gave in spite of great afflictions. They gave in spite of great poverty. They gave beyond their ability. They gave without being prompted or asked. And they begged for the opportunity. In all of those points, You find things that we should consider in regards to our own giving. Our individual giving as a Christian, as a member of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, our giving as a church. Doesn't matter how hard it is or how difficult the circumstances in our life at the time, we need to give. It doesn't matter how poor we are, we should seek opportunity to give. We ought to seek not just to give what we're able, but maybe to stretch ourselves and give beyond our ability. We ought to seek to give, to send love offerings without being asked. I like the way the Lord works so many times in getting us as a church needs and bringing things across the table that aren't just out there, people asking for funds. I like the way the Lord sometimes lays it upon our heart as a church to do things and people weren't even expecting it or didn't think that would ever happen. That's the most blessed way to give. And we ought to be looking for opportunity. It's not a curse. It's not a burden. And if it's a curse and it's a burden, and we're not looking for opportunity and begging for opportunities to give, then we're probably living beyond our means. And we need to reevaluate that particular situation. Now in verse number 7, after laying before them the example of the Macedonian churches, he calls the Corinthians to learn from their example. He commends them for abounding in everything. He commends them for abounding in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in diligence, and in love. That's quite the list of commendations. He praises them for abounding in all things. And as he lays the Macedonian church before them as an example, as an illustration, he says, I pray you'll abound in this also. I pray that you will abound in the grace of giving. Then verse number 9, 10, and 11. After speaking of the example of the Macedonian churches, after calling the Corinthians to abound in the grace of giving along with the other graces that they abounded in, he lays before the Corinthians the example of Jesus Christ. And as we think about the Corinthians, as we think about the Macedonian churches, most importantly, when it comes to our giving, we need to be reminded of how Christ gave. Brings us back to grace, doesn't it? Brings us back to grace being what really initiates proper giving. He says in verse number 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, speaking of his status before he left heaven to come here, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now there perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. As he commends the churches of Macedonia to the Corinthians, seeks to see them abound in this grace, lifting up Christ as the supreme example of one who gave and became poor, that we might become rich. He references how that they had desired to give an offering before. Something had hindered them from previous opportunities, as you look at that verse number 11. And he brings them back with the desire that they would abound in the grace of giving, along with all the other graces that they had abounded in. Now the question that we build to, the climax that we come to in the message tonight: how was it possible that Thessalonica, Philippi, Berea, and maybe some other churches had been established? How is it possible that they were able to give in spite of great affliction? How is it possible that they were able to give in spite of great poverty? How is it possible that they were able to give over and above the call of duty? How is it possible that they gave without being prompted by the Apostle Paul? How is it possible that they would go as far as to beg and to plead with Paul to let them have a part in this? How is it possible that the Macedonian churches would be identified as among those who gave all? Some gave all. Well, the secret to everything we're reading tonight is found in verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped. Notice what he says there. But first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They were able to give in spite of great afflictions. They were able to give in spite of great poverty. They were able to give above and beyond their ability. They were able to give without being prompted. They were able to give desiring and begging even that that offering might be received by the Paul. They were able to do that because they had first of all given themselves to the Lord. Amen. You look at all the things in your life that you think you can't do. You look at all the things in your life that you won't do. You look at all the things in your life that you refuse to do. You look at all the things in your life and you come to the conclusion, I just can't do that. You're probably right. And the reason you can't do those things, that whatever the list might involve and include, is because you've not, first of all, given yourself to the Lord. See, the thought is, if you give yourself to the Lord, if you give everything to the Lord, all of these other things are easy. And that's the problem most Christians have. They've not given themselves. They've not given it all to the Lord. Wasn't it this morning we sang, I surrender all? Am I remembering right? When we really have surrendered it all, given it all to the Lord, these things become pretty easy. They become pretty simple. When you've laid it all on the altar, then when it comes time to demonstrate in particular ways, that comes pretty easy. When you've given it all to the Lord, He already has it. He already possesses it. And it's an easy task. In spite of the affliction, in spite of the poverty, in spite of their lack of ability, in spite of their not being prompted, in spite of their having to beg Paul to give them this opportunity, they had laid it all on the altar. And that's taught in Scripture. In the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans 12. Verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I beg, I beseech, I plead with you, because of the mercies of God that you've experienced, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, all of you, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul calls the church at Rome to present their whole body a living sacrifice, to give it all to the Lord. And when you present your body a living sacrifice, you give it all to the Lord, the little sacrifices are easy. It's not difficult at all. And the reason the little sacrifices seem so monumental and things that we tell ourselves, I can't do that, because you're not giving it all to the Lord. Once you've given it all on the altar of sacrifice, it's pretty easy to go and follow through with the particular evidences. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, Paul speaking to the people at Philippi, which would have been one of the churches that he was speaking of, represented in those churches of Macedonia. But here's the demonstration of the Apostle Paul of giving, and giving it all, giving his whole life to Christ, that they had to have learned from. He says in verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless," notice what he says here, "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." I count all things but loss. He'd laid it all on the altar. He'd given it all. And the Philippians had taken note, I believe, of Paul's laying it all on the altar. And so when it came time for Paul to suffer, go through the more routine displays of sacrifice, it was no problem. He'd already given it all, given up everything for the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." They were able, because of God's grace showed to them, they were able to give in spite of their affliction, in spite of their poverty. They were able to give over their ability, really display sacrificial giving. They were able to give willingly, cheerfully, joyfully, as Paul says was required by God. They were able to beg for the opportunity to give. They were able to seek to give. All because they had given themselves to the Lord. forgot to look the number up. But I want to try to find it real quick. Number 156. How could they give this way? Why can't you? Why can't I? Why can't we sometimes give this way? The answer might be found in the words of this song in our hymn books, number 156. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly and fervently prayed, but you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word and have peace and contentment alway? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar, your all you must lay. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow, or the blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Who can tell all the love He will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made? Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet, when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar? The churches of Macedonia had given themselves, they had given all of themselves to the Lord. So when it came time for them to demonstrate their grace of giving in these ways we're looking at in this message tonight, it was easy. And God help us to understand, He doesn't want us sitting around talking about why we can't do this and we can't do that, or we won't do this, we won't do that. He wants all of us. He wants us to lay it all on the altar. So we won't sit around talking about what we can't do, what we won't do. We'll just gladly do it. Do it easily. Because once you're giving it all to the Lord, the rest is easy. Let's stand together. Have a verse of song.